Welcome to Spiritualized Ministry Bible Study Podcast. Today's lesson is called Understanding the Enigma, Deciphering the Dark Sayings of Proverbs, Part 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 read, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." Today, I'm with my Christian brother, Deacon Clarence Barnes. How are you doing, Clarence Barnes?
I'm doing fine, Brother Tally. I'm glad to be here today where we can read, retain, and recite the Word of God.
Amen. Well, today we're going to be looking at the numbers study. We're going to be looking at the meaning of the numbers and the mathematical structure of Scripture. Now, to understand what I mean by mathematical structure of Scripture, we have to first understand the supernatural origin of Scripture. The Bible was written outside of our time domain and transcends time and space. It could not have been written by man. It was written entirely by God by sending the Holy Spirit to work through man. Isaiah 57:15 tells us that God inhabits eternity. 40 authors over a period of about 1,600 years wrote the 66 books of the Bible, which shows evidence of supernatural engineering in every detail.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2 and 3 read, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. The heaven for height, the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable."
Amen.
Now, when a word or a phrase or an event occurs more than once, we can look at how many times they appear in Scripture and see what message or meaning the Lord is trying to convey to us. Now, there are dozens of different kinds of encryptions underneath the text. So we're going to discuss a few as we decipher the dark sayings of the book of Proverbs and search the Scripture for height and depth. The first of these supernatural enigmas that we're going to search out is the meaning of the numbers used in Scripture and what they represent.
Amen.
Let's start with the number 3. There are 3 that bear record in heaven. 3 is the number that represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, Brother Barnes, we're introduced to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the very first verse of Genesis.
All right.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." The Hebrew word used for God is Elohim. Elohim is plural intensive and has a singular meaning. Elohim is plural for Eloah, yet there is only one God. 1 John 5:7 reads, "For there are 3 that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these 3 are one."
Brother Tally, I'd just like to add the number, there were also 3 Marys at the cross when Jesus was crucified.
That's right, 3 Marys at the cross. 3 people were crucified. Yeah, that's
3 people were crucified.
Right, that's 3 in the crowd. Yeah, and we know from the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, you know, 1 John 5:7 has some opposition. There's people who oppose 1 John 5:7, and they ask the question, if Elohim implies a plurality of persons, how can Christians explain the identical word Elohim in the Tanakh referring to Moses as well? Regarding Moses, the Torah says in the book of Exodus chapter 7, verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet." Moses was made a godlike one for the purpose of glorifying Yahweh. This is called a type. Moses was a representative of God. Aaron was his prophet. Pharaoh is a type of Satan, and Egypt is an idiom for the world. This was done for the glory of Yahweh, not to glorify Moses. So I hope that answers the question. You know, if anybody asks, if that comes up with anybody, Elohim being plural, why was it used for Moses? It was done for the glory of God. And the book of Exodus chapter 7, verse 5 and 6 read, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, Yahweh, when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so they did."
All right.
Yeah, and even in the book of Isaiah chapter 3, we see the angel singing, "Holy, holy, holy." And in the book of Revelation, you have the 24 elders day and night saying, holy, 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 three times to represent the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, we were talking about the Jesus on the cross. Did you know that during Jesus' three-year ministry, it was recorded in the four Gospels that Jesus raised three people from the dead?
All right.
Yeah, on Calvary, three people were crucified. You already told us about the three Marys. Now, check this out. On the third day, Jonah was released from the belly of the big fish.
Okay.
On the third day, Jesus rose from the earth, and symbolizing this future resurrection, the earth itself rose out of the waters on the third day of creation in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 9 through 13.
All right.
And getting back to the book of Proverbs here, just searching it for height and depth, I looked up the word lamp. The word lamp, L-A-M-P, is used three times in the book of Proverbs.
All right.
And Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 tells us what a lamp is. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life. And the word judge is used three times in the book of Proverbs. And the word plead is used three times in the book of Proverbs, which is interesting because the one who gave us the lamp, the commandments, is our high priest pleading our cause, and one day he will come back to judge us.
Come on.
That's right.
Teach, Brother Talley.
Right. And now let's look at the number four. Four represents the earth and is an earthly number. There are four great elements, the earth, the air, fire, and water. The sun was created on the fourth day of creation.
Okay.
There are four regions of the earth, north, south, east, and west. And then we have the four seasons.
All right.
The word vanity is used four times in the book of Proverbs. And then when we look at the number five, five is the number of grace. The word invisible is used five times in Scripture. There are five great mysteries, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, creation, and redemption. And speaking of redemption, the word harvest is used five times in the book of Proverbs.
All right.
And then let's look at the number six. Since five is the number of grace, then six is an addition to it, the grace of God made none effect. And since seven is the number which marks completion, six falls short of it. So whether we regard it as being five plus one or seven minus one, six is the number of imperfection, the human number, the number of man as destitute of God, without God and without Christ.
All right.
Now the word mocker, M-O-C-K-E-R, is used six times in Scripture. And as we look in the book of Proverbs, the word sluggard is used six times in the book of Proverbs.
Right.
And what is a sluggard, Brother Barnes?
A sluggard.
That's a hard head, ain't it?
Yeah, okay, a hard head.
Yeah, that's a lazy person.
A lazy person, yeah. Hard-headed. Wow. Won't listen. And you know something? A sluggard should understand that if you listen, you learn.
Yes.
If you don't learn, you don't earn. We should teach our kids that.
Right. And you know what? Falling right in line with that, the word pride is used six times in the book of Proverbs. And you know, the Lord hates pride.
Amen.
We know that from Proverbs chapter 6.
Amen.
And then we see that the fact that it's used six times, the Lord is letting us know that he hates pride. That's the number of man. That's part of human nature to have pride. It's part of human nature to be a sluggard and to a certain extent. So, you know, that book of Proverbs, it's magical, man. It's supernatural how the Lord has took in his word and not only make these numbers match in every individual book, but all 66 books over a period of 1600 years written by 40 authors. Isn't that something?
That is something.
Now let's look at the number seven. Seven is the number of completion and spiritual perfection. The Hebrew word for seven is Sheba, from the root word Seba, meaning to be full, satisfied, or have enough of. Now, there's almost an innumerable amount of sevens in Scripture in the book of Revelation. But let's look at, while we're doing the book of Proverbs, let's look at the sevens in the book of Proverbs. That's what we're going to be covering. There are seven abominations that God hates in chapter 6. Wisdom hewned out her seven pillars to build her house in chapter 9. And the word crown, C-R-O-W-N, is used seven times in the book of Proverbs.
All
And then also in the book of Proverbs, seven times we see the word secret, the word reprove, the word rebuke, the word honey, the word foundation. Those are all words used seven times in the book of Proverbs, with seven meaning spiritual perfection.
Amen.
And also, in the book of Proverbs, in the King James Version of the Bible, there are seven verses that start with the phrase, with the words, the fear of the Lord.
The fear of the Lord.
The fear of the Lord. Just like Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's seven verses that start with the fear of the Lord.
All right.
And there are also seven verses in the book of Proverbs that deal directly with chastising and correcting your children.
All right.
Let's look at the number 8. 8 is the number of resurrection and renewal. 8 means a new beginning. The ark contained 8 souls. Okay. As Daniel prayed for a new beginning for his people, we should note that the word pray in all its different forms, pray, praying, prayers, but just the base word pray is used 8 times in the book of Daniel.
All right.
He prayed for a new beginning, and the word pray was used 8 times.
Okay.
Isn't that something?
That is something.
The word truth is used 8 times in the book of Daniel. And as we study the book of Proverbs, we'll see that the word blood is used 8 times in the book of Proverbs.
All right.
Now let's look at the number 10. 10 is a completeness of a divine order. For an example, Noah completed the antediluvian age in the 10th generation from God.
All right.
The Lord gave us 10 commandments.
Ha!
The Lord's prayer is completed in 10 clauses. And you know, we pay 10% tithes to the Lord,
okay,
because that's what belongs to the Lord. The first fruits,
right.
10%. And also the word diligent, D-I-L-I-G-E-N-T, diligent, is used 10 times in the book of Proverbs. The word glory is used 10 times in the book of Proverbs. And the word truth is used 10 times in the book of Proverbs.
All right.
So we should be diligent as we follow the Lord's commandments.
All right.
Give him all the glory and praise him because he's the truth,
right.
The way, the truth, and the light.
And the light.
Then we have the number.
Put it together, brother.
Yeah, we put it together. Now, the number 11, since 10 is the number which marks perfection of a divine order, then 11 is an addition to it, submersive of and undoing of that order. And since 12 is the number which marks the perfection of a divine government, then 11 falls short of it. So whether we regard it as being 10 plus 1 or 12 minus 1, it's the number which marks disorder, disorganization, imperfection, and disintegration.
Okay.
Now, the word perverse is used 11 times in the book of Proverbs. Perverse. And just going through the scriptures here, I found that 11 times in scripture, the word divorce is used.
Okay.
Divorce. And the word brutish, B-R-U-T-I-S-H, used 11 times in scripture. Now, you can see these are all negative words. And you can see by how many times the words are used in scripture, what the Lord is trying to tell us about these words. And, you know, just taking a closer look, the word divorce being used 11 times in scripture. When two people are married, they become one union.
Right.
And I look at divorce as being 12 minus 1, man falling short of what God has put together through the hardness of his heart.
All
you
right.
know?
All right.
And in the book of Proverbs, the word forsake, F-O-R-S-A-K-E, is used 11 times. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 2 reads, "For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law."
You doctrine.
Can, yeah, well, you can look at it as being 10 plus 1, adding to God's law and being wise in your own conceit, or 12 minus 1, showing no regard for God's authority.
All right.
You know,
all right.
But it's interesting when we do this, because we want to explore as much as we can and search out the scripture for height and depth and decipher the dark sayings. But we don't want to go too far and start making scripture start adding up to what we wanted to add up to. You know, they say the Bible is like a prisoner of war. If you twist it hard enough, you can make it say whatever you want to say.
All right.
You know, and we have to be careful to let the Holy Spirit lead us.
Amen.
Because, you know, I think it's man's nature. Just man's nature, when he gets into a study like this, to come up with the equation first and then try to make scripture fit the equation that he came up with in his head. You know, if you got a big enough hammer, you can make the circle peg fit into the square hole.
Amen.
You know what I'm
Amen.
Saying? Amen. So it's important to let the Holy Spirit lead you and not get ahead of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when you discover something new, it's exciting. But we have to make sure we give God all the glory, and let the Lord show us.
Amen.
Well, you know, and also we have to take in consideration the translation from Hebrew to English and from Greek to English. Because there's a certain number of codes that actually add up in the authorized King James Version that don't add up in the original language. You know, but some things add up perfectly. So I'm gonna do an example first of something that adds up perfectly across the board. The word 20 in the New Testament, in the Greek, the number 20 spelled out, the word 20 is used 12 times in the New Testament in the English, and it's used 12 times in the original Greek. There's no variation, or there's no different translations of different words. So that's a word that adds up perfectly in both languages.
All right.
But as an example of a number making perfect sense in the authorized King James Version English and not in the Greek New Testament would be the word know, K-N-O-W, in the book of Colossians.
Okay.
Because I was looking at this last week. The Colossians, they had a big problem with the Gnostics coming in their church and turning people away from the truth. Gnostics get their name from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge. So it makes perfect sense when you work up the word know in the book of Colossians and see that it's used 11 times, right? Well, the Gnostics are out of order. Their name's used 11 times. The Lord put the word know in there 11 times to let the Colossians know that about the Gnostics. Well, upon, you know, looking further, we see that as it translates into the original, as it comes from the original Greek, that doesn't work out like that. Because you got know as the base word of different words like acknowledgement and the word for known. And as you break it down in the Greek, there is no number right there. So I just want to put an example of something that makes sense in the English. But if you just let it get out of hand, and you know, you have to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. Yeah, sometimes we see things that aren't there. We don't see things that are there. You know, we have to pray, and I believe in praying and fasting.
Amen.
I do. I believe in praying and fasting.
Amen.
And then with the Old Testament being in Hebrew and the New Testament being in Greek, did you know that if you translate the New Testament from the Greek to the Hebrew, that it's got the exact same writing style as the original Hebrew, almost as if the New Testament was written in Greek, written in Hebrew first and then Greek. So that shows it's got the exact same author.
All right.
It does.
Brother Tally, I think a lot of times when you're getting ready to get into Bible study, it's always a good practice to ask the Holy Spirit for leading and guidance and understanding to help you along the way. So we should always ask the Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, and teach us. You know, we can't go wrong when we do that.
We can't go wrong. That's right. Yeah, I believe in praying and fasting.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
That's right.
I hear you.
Now, let's look at the number 12. 12 is a perfect number signifying the perfection of government, the number of governmental perfection. It's also called the number of power. You know, there were 12 apostles.
Yeah.
There's a 12-fold structure to New Jerusalem, you know, which can be found in the book of Revelation, chapter 21.
Okay.
Now, in the book of Proverbs, the word silver is used 12 times in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20 reads, "The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth." If we use our tongue to serve the Lord, it'll be valuable to ourselves and the Lord. Because Proverbs 21:23 reads, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." But if we have a froward and perverse tongue, our heart will be of little worth. And we know from Matthew chapter 17 that it's not what goes into the body that defiles a man.
It's what comes out.
Yeah. The word drink, D-R-I-N-K, is used 12 times in the book of Proverbs. Now, the number 13, I found a very interesting study right here in the number 13. 13 is the number of rebellion.
Okay.
13 is the number that represents the dragon. The word dragon appears 13 times in the New Testament and only in the book of Revelation. And I'm doing a study. It's an ongoing study. I've been doing it for a while, but I'm doing a study on the mark of the beast. And I came across this remarkable study while looking for the number of the beast. And we know from Revelation chapter 13, verse 18, it says, "Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. Okay. Now, many of the names and titles of Satan add up to multiples of 13 in both the Hebrew and the Greek.
All right.
When you take the numerical values of both the Greek and you add them up, and you take the numerical values of the Hebrew and add them up, they both add up to multiples of 13. So just for instance here, the word serpent. You look up the word serpent in Hebrew.
Okay.
The word serpent in Hebrew is sarath. Each one of those letters have a numerical value in the original Hebrew language. So you add them up. 800 plus 200 plus 300 equals 1300.
All right now.
That's a multiple of 13.
Okay.
Now you take that exact same word, serpent in the Greek.
Okay.
Serpent in the Greek is ophis. Each one of those Greek letters have a numerical value. You take those numerical values and add them up. 70 plus 500 plus 10 plus 200, it equals 780, a multiple of 13.
All right.
Then you take the word Satan in Greek, it's Satanis.
Okay.
Each one of those Greek letters have a numerical value in the Greek word of Satan. And you take those numbers and you add them up. 200 plus 1 plus 300 plus 1 plus 50 plus 1 plus 6. You come up to 559, a multiple of 13. 559 divided by 43 is 13.
All right.
And the word dragon in the Greek, the word dragon is drakon. You take the numerical value of each one of those Greek letters that make up the word dragon in the Greek, and you add them up. 4 plus 100 plus 1 plus 20 plus 800 plus 50, you come up to 975, a multiple of 13.
All right.
975 divided by 75 is 13.
Equals 13.
Now, in Matthew chapter 4, the devil is called the tempter. So
okay.
You look at that word tempter in the Greek, it's called pirazo. That's the tempter. You take the numerical value of each one of those letters that make up the word tempter in the Greek, and you add them up, 80 plus 5 plus 10 plus 100 plus 1 plus 7 plus 800 plus 50. It comes out to 1,053, which is a multiple of 13. 1,053
right.
Divided by 81 is 13.
13.
And we know from the book of John, chapter 8, verse 44, that the devil is a murderer.
A murderer.
He was the murderer from the beginning.
All right now.
He
committed
up,
murder in the garden.
That's right. From the very beginning, he was a murderer.
Murder.
And he's a murderer right now.
Amen.
He's still murdering. You take the Greek word, the Greek letters for the word that make up murderer, and you add them up. The Greek word is anthropoktonos.
Okay.
Anthropoktonos.
Okay.
That's how you say it, anthropoktonos.
Okay.
You take the letters of that Greek word and you add them up, 1 plus 50 plus 9 plus 100 plus 800 plus 80 plus 70 plus 20 plus 300 plus 70 plus 50 plus 70 plus 200, you come out to 1,820, which is a multiple of 13.
All right.
1,820 divided by 140 is 13.
All
so
right.
We see that the fear of 13 originated in the numerical value of Satan's many names. You could actually read more about the many names of Satan and the numerical values that they add up to in a book by James Harrison called The Pattern and the Prophecy.
Okay.
It's an interesting book.
Okay.
Now, the word 13 is used 26 times in the Old Testament, which is a multiple of 13.
All right.
There's another interesting fact about 13. Now, the word gold is used 13 times in the book of Proverbs.
Okay.
It, you know, people will rebel and do whatever they got to do to get the gold, but the scripture tells us to seek wisdom as we would seek gold.
All right.
That not to seek the gold. It's telling us to seek the wisdom.
The wisdom and not the gold.
Right. Now, the number 24 is the number of worship. There were 24 elders worshiping Christ in the book of Revelation.
All right.
And the name Judah means he shall be praised. And we'll see in the Old Testament, the name Judah is used more. In the New Testament, we see the word Judas used. The name Judas means worship, and it's used 24 times in the four Gospels.
All right.
I told this to a coworker of mine. I said, you know, the name Judas means worship, and the number 24 is the number of worship, and the name Judas is used 24 times in the four Gospels. And he said, my brother, if I'm not mistaken, Judas is the son of perdition. And he's right that Judas Iscariot is the son of perdition, but the name Judas itself means worship.
All right.
And it's used 24 times in the four Gospels.
All right.
The word covenant.
Like the Judas we use today.
Huh?
Like the Judas we were talking about today.
Yeah, the Judas. Yeah, Judas Iscariot, the traitor.
Right. All
right. Right, but the name Judas means worship.
All right.
The word covenant is used 24 times in the New Testament, so praise God for his new covenant.
Yes, sir.
Now let's look at the number 30. Being 3 times 10 denotes a higher degree of the perfection of a divine order. It's marking the right moment. Christ was 30 years of age at the commencement of his ministry. And we can read about that in Luke chapter 3, verse 23.
All right.
And also, the word 30 is used 10 times in the four Gospels.
Okay.
And then also, when we look at the number 40, 40 is an association with the period of probation, trial, chastisement, and mourning. Jesus fasted for 40 days and was tested. It rained for 40 days and nights during the flood of Noah. And to receive the Ten Commandments, Moses was on the mount 40 days and 40 nights in Exodus 24. And after Jesus' resurrection and before he ascended into heaven, Jesus spent 40 more days on the earth in the book of Acts.
Come on.
Chapter 1, verse 3. And the word throne is used 40 times in the book of Revelation.
All right.
And the word 40 is used 24 times in the New Testament.
Goliath tested the Israelites for 40 days before he met his downfall when he faced David. He didn't know that that was his last day, and it was David's first day.
That's right, 40 days, huh?
40 days.
40 days, that's something.
He raised sand and ranted and raved and threatened for 40 days. And he had everybody scared until that shepherd boy stood up with that slingshot and that rock. Thank God.
Thank God, that's right. And just the very last number I'm going to discuss is the number 1,000.
1,000.
Yeah, you know, Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
All right now.
And even in the book of Psalm, chapter 90, verse 4, it reads, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. 1,000 years equals one day in God's prophetic revelation to man. And now, according to 1,000 years being one day, we look in the book of Genesis at the creation of the earth.
Come on.
We know on day one, God gave us his light, but he didn't give us the sun until day number 4.
All right.
Day number 4 is when he created the sun. So God gave us the sun on day number 4, and on millennium number 4, God gave us his only begotten son, coming back to rule on the Sabbath, on millennium number 7. Which is the Sabbath day. So we're approaching the eve of millennium number 6.
Okay.
Nobody knows the time and nobody knows the day, but our Lord and Savior Jesus is coming back.
Amen. He said, watch. And watch the signs and the wonders. You know, and as I sit here, I look and I think about the signs and the wonders that I see every day. And that lets me know, in agreement with you, Brother Tally, that Jesus is coming back.
Amen. He is coming back. And basically, this was actually a hard subject to tackle, you know. And
right.
I had to do a lot of homework on this. But, you know, praise God, he got me through it. And we basically just touched the surface of it.
Amen.
But my whole point is, when we dive into Scripture, it's as deep as you want to go. And I want to go as deep as the Lord allows me to go.
Amen.
I want to look at every single aspect of Scripture. I want to search it for the height. I want to search it for the depth. I want to know everything there is to know about Scripture. So, you know, this number study is something interesting, something to consider.
Amen.
You know, the mathematical structure of Scripture. And it's fun to talk about it.
It's interesting. It's another avenue to drive down. You know, it's so interesting. And as you put these numbers together, it gives me more faith that the Word of God is true. Because as you said earlier, Brother Tally, no man could have written this. And no man could have made these numbers come out like they do. Over the time that the Bible was written, and the people, the 40 plus people that wrote it, they had to be God-inspired men. And I'm glad that we got together today, and I'm glad that you took the time to get into this type of study and do the research that is necessary. And I'm glad and I'm proud of you, and we're just going to keep on searching this Scripture.
Amen. Hey, do you want to close us out in prayer? And after you close us out in prayer, I'm going to read one scripture that I always use to close out my show. So why don't you close us out in prayer?
Father God in heaven, I thank you for this day. Father God in heaven, I thank you for the Passover that allowed me to see this day. Father God, continue, brother, to bless Brother Tally, Father. Continue to have him interested and keep him hungry, Father, that he can search out the Scripture, dig into it, and bring up things that most of us don't think of. Father, continue to bless him. Continue to bless his family. Father, continue to bless me and my family. Father, continue to bless all of our church members, Father, and their family. And in the name of Jesus, that I can say thank you and I can say amen.
Amen. And I'm going to close out by reading the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.